announcing services as a counselor, and I've been attending the church for about 2 years now, and I'm so honored to share my testimony or like how God worked in my life past 30 plus years, I guess. Yes. So I grew up in a Christian home where my parents is a pastor, and when I was 9, my parents decided to go back to the Philippines as a missionary. So before moving back to Canada about 6 years ago, I stayed with them in the Philippines, finishing my university degree and helping my parents with the ministry. And during our ministry in the Philippines, I lived with different students like 24/7. So we had a lot of students coming from different places in Korea, and yeah, my parents hosted them. So my life was like living with people 24/7. Everything was like exposed. There was like no private time. And also being the first child and having the pressure to be a good role model for my younger siblings and the students we had, I had to put on a lot of masks. With this mask, I was very judgmental and very much closed person. I didn't share my real feelings and thoughts to people, fearing that I will have negative impact on their lives and the community. And I also fear that people would not love me if I have a flaw. And this unhealthy pattern also showed in my relationship with God. I read my Bible every day and prayed every day. However, I was not honest with God. Even though when I was hurting, I would just thank God and say the prayer that I would routinely pray. I was like a Pharisee in a way, where I did everything Christians should do, but my heart was not with God. It wasn't aligned with God. And living with the pressure to be a good child, eventually I gained things I could boast about, such as my education and so on and so forth. But even when I try hard to be a good person in front of people, there were sins I was falling into. I was so foolish. Just joking. I was so foolish. Yes. I was very foolish. Thinking if no one catches me, I'm fine. And another lie I believed was, I'm better than that person since I'm not doing that, or I'm not doing that sin. And my standard of sin was not based on the Bible, but the world. If I'm a little better than someone, I'm not committing a sin, I thought I was safe. I was seeing myself through the eyes of other people, not God's eyes. Then one day, an incident happened in my life where I was devastated and I wished that God would take away my life. Through this time, all that I was proud of and all the achievements I've made was broken into pieces. God tore down all my idols, the idols of fame, good reputation, and everything you can think about. God made me realize that I have nothing to boast about except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, as says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. That was the time I understood and truly resonated with what Paul said in his writings, when he said that I am the chief of sinners. And now I no longer have that judgmental mentality towards others, since I know that I, who is the chief of sinners, was saved by God's grace, even when I did not deserve it. And I don't compare myself to others engaging my sin, but solely on the Bible. And I'm grateful that God removed all the masks that I was wearing and helped me to learn that I am lovable and precious just the way I am. Thank you, everyone. And I hope our God will bless you and transform you every day just like he did to me. Thank you very much.
Okay, so today we're going to be looking at the parable of the mustard seed, which Jesus told his disciples, and we can find it in the Gospel of Matthew, Luke, and Mark. Jesus, he often spoke in parables. Parables are a way of telling a story in a short and simple way. How many like short and simple? He spoke this way often so his followers could understand the many truths that he was trying to teach. So today, we're going to be enjoying an awesome barbecue, and I'm sure many of you would like to have a short and simple sermon, correct? So I'll try my best. The parable that we'll be looking at today, as I said, is the parable of the mustard seed. And when we look at that parable, we see that It's all about growth from small beginnings. Everybody loves a good story, especially when a story begins with many obstacles and not so likely to succeed. But in the end, it ends triumphantly. And these are all the stories we love. And that's what I like about Jesus. It always has a good ending. The story Jesus told his disciples through the parable of the mustard seed, it really can encourage each and every one of us here today, no matter what stage you're in on your Christian walk, even if you're a new Christian, even if you've been a Christian for many years, because this parable is all about growth from small beginnings. Let's pray. Father, we welcome you here. Holy Spirit, come. We ask that you would open up the word to us and that you would show us what you're saying. And Lord, we thank you for how you walk with us and how you don't just leave us, but you also give us your Holy Spirit. So Lord, open up our eyes and our ears to hear and to see what you're saying to us. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. So if you have your Bibles here today, you can open them up to Matthew chapter 13, beginning in verses 31 to 32, or you can just follow along with me. I know some people like to get in the feel of paper, get in the word. So this is what Jesus said, reading from the Gospel of Matthew 13, 31 to 32. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches. I think Randy wanted me to say it grows to about 8 feet tall. I asked him to do that part, but he wouldn't do it. I really love the way Jesus uses illustrations, and he explains it to us in a way that we'll understand. Here we see Jesus. He gives us an illustration of how the kingdom of heaven works. He says that when we start small, big things happen. And this is tied to our relationship with him and also how the gospel grows. When we ask Jesus into our lives, we start small. Our faith is small. Our understanding of God is small. Even what we do for God is small. And from that, those small beginnings, growth comes. And like Jesus says, it's like taking the smallest seed, which is our belief and faith in him and trusting in him to work it all out, and watching it grow and become a large tree where it becomes a refuge for others. I have some mustard seeds here. As you can see, look how tiny they are. And it's amazing to realize that an 8-foot tree would, I can't even show you that, but it's so tiny. And it's so wonderful how God used this, or Jesus used this illustration. Because sometimes we feel so small and insignificant. Sometimes we think that we just can't do what God's asking us to do. But here he is encouraging us to hang in there and let him do the work in our hearts. Because in the end, God really wants to grow us. He wants us to grow in him. He wants us to be a refuge for the lost. And he wants the refuge to take cover in us as we lead them to Jesus and as we mentor them along. But in order for that to happen, we all need growth. I mean, that it's encouraging to know, right, that we don't have to be spiritual giants when we come to Jesus. And for some reason, maybe some have misunderstood the gospel and they thought that they have to be perfect, they have to have it all together, and they have to be spiritual giants before they come to Jesus. And so maybe some have not even accepted Jesus into their lives. The good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ is just that. We can come to him just the way we are. Bumps and boils and bruises. We come to him. I mean, that's why it's called the good news, right? Jesus says, come to me, all those who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus says it's okay. He'll grow you into a strong, mighty tree. And in fact, in Isaiah 61, it says that he will cause us to be oaks of righteousness, a planting for the display of God's splendor. I really love that scripture. Do you know that I hung on to an oak seed for many, many years? I was in Southern Ontario, and I seen one on the ground, and I snatched it up, and I thought, okay, Lord, I'm asking you for that, because I feel like I'm just so far away. And I think I have it still somewhere. But hanging on to that truth really encouraged me. So be encouraged today. God wants to grow your faith in him. He also wants you to believe for the situations in your life that you can't change. And he wants you to believe in him for more. I'm going to give you a little bit of example of how God grew me in the area of freedom. I used to have a lot of fears. In fact, I was racked with fears. I was claustrophobic. I feared being anywhere where I couldn't get out. How many can relate? That's kind of a common fear. And it was to the point I struggled with anxiety and panic attacks often. I couldn't go out in public much. I couldn't stand in line at the bank. I couldn't go to the grocery store because I didn't know when the next anxiety attack was going to strike me. But I did go to church, and I did read my Bible, and about somewhere in between, I learned the truth. I learned that fear is not from the Lord. And that just seemed so simple to me, but yet, kind of hard, right? So 2 Timothy 1:1 tells us, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind." So knowing this truth, I began to gain freedom. I asked myself, why am I letting fear run me? Why am I so afraid when it has absolutely nothing to do with God? Because I made a decision, I'm going to follow Jesus. And so I thought, well, I'm going to let that empower me. And so what I did from that moment on is I kind of just did things that I was afraid to do. I did them afraid, but I still did them. And eventually, fear began to leave me. In 2007, I preached my first sermon, and I trembled with fear. I sat down on a chair, on a stool, and I think I sat there for like the first 3 years that I preached. And eventually, the fear left. I mean, this is amazing that we can do these things, that God can enable us. In 2011, my husband and I, we went to Africa for a month to do mission work. And there we were in the back of the van in Kenya. And as anyone anywhere in Kenya needs a ride, if you have a little spot in your vehicle, the driver will pull over and then let that person get in. Well, I mean, even in Kenya, I've seen on the top of the vans or even the buses, people on top because they need a ride to where they're going. And so there we were. Everyone toppled on top of each other, and I was right at the back, and I had my face stuck to the window, and then all of a sudden, I started getting a panic attack. And I reached over, and I was able to grab and touch the shoulder of the pastor, one of the pastors there, and I said, "Pray for me. Tell fear to go." So he did. and it was gone. Like, it was gone. And when I think about where God has brought me from to today, I just think it's such a miracle. And so if you've ever experienced panic attacks or fear that's just grabbing you, I want you to know that God wants to deliver you. And he wants to bring you to where you need to be. He doesn't want you to be afraid. And so be encouraged. The truth is, right, if I would have just stayed in my fear and failed to trust God, then Grace Place wouldn't exist today. Speaking of growth from small beginnings, we started with $28 in the bank and seven people. And look what we're doing today. And if you look at Grace Place, it's kind of like a big, strong, sturdy tree being a refuge for those on the streets. And so that's just one example how God grows things to be big from small beginnings. So today there might be some of you here that you think that you don't measure up and you could never be the Christian wants you to be. I've been there. It's not the truth. I encourage you to trust God. And in fact, if you have not already done so, ask Jesus into your life. Give him the power to change you. Give him the power to deliver you. He'll cause you to grow in him because the kingdom of God starts from small beginnings. And if we can remember that, then this will empower you to do the things that you never thought that you'd ever do. And that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. So I'm going to just close with some prayer. And I just want to give opportunity. We have pastors here to pray if you would like prayer. And that's made available. We're going to enjoy an awesome barbecue. But know that you're not alone. Please come and see us if you want to talk. So let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for the word of my testimony, Lord, that you cause us to overcome, and that not just me, but there are others here, Lord, that need to overcome. So, Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit, I just ask that you would give them the strength to do whatever it is you're asking them to do. Encourage them, Lord. Cause them to keep putting one foot in front of the other for you, Lord. Cause them to be strong and mighty, like an oak of righteousness that's promised in your word. So, Lord, may your word continue to go forth from this place. Everybody that hears me, even in the streets and even in their homes, Lord, may you accomplish that which you set out to accomplish. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.